Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go back to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Who would you prefer to be kicking field goals for the Titans this Sunday at Baltimore? Would it be Steven Goskowski? Would it be Tucker McCann? Or would it be Giorgio Tavecchio? Over 100 votes so far, 46%. Say Giorgio Tavecchio, 31% at Goskowski, 23% at Tucker McCann. The margin for my guy Giorgio Tavecchio grows by the minute. Rex Road, your reaction?
Well, they always talk about how, you know, the backup quarterbacks, most popular guy in NFL town, backup goalies, most. So now here in Nashville, the backup kicker, whoever it is, whoever the backup kicker is, yay, go Giorgio. Great name.
Yes.
Now, I'm in support of his name. I think that would be cool. See a little Tavecchio out there. I'm with Floyd. Put me down for Team Floyd on this one. What did he say? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. I go with the 60% devil right now over possible 0 for 5 and just, you know.
Possible 5 for 5.
Yeah, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go. Well, you know what? Let's see what the practice field says this week.
Yeah. Are you going to be charting with the, like, 11 minutes you're allowed to watch practice?
Based on what usually happens there, I don't think there's any kicking. You know, during training camp, you get to see the entire practices, so you get to see these. We got to see all these Greg Joseph, Tucker McCann battles, and, of course, neither of them end up, you know, mattering at all. But, yeah, I don't think we're going to get to see any of that. That'll have to be top secret.
Matt on Twitter says, how about none of the above with the options that we have listed out there for kicking on Sunday for the Titans? And Christopher says, can we use last year's plan and just not kick field goals? AKA just go for it, or do I say this word? Punt. Wow.
Just complete a drive and score a touchdown.
Well, that's what they did last year. I mean, once Tannehill got going, they just scored every time they were in the red zone. You know, they kicked one field goal in three playoff games. They made it. It was a short Greg Joseph field goal against Kansas City. Other than that, they just scored a touchdown. So, yeah, that's a good plan. Just do the touchdown stuff and don't worry about it.
Yeah, why haven't they been doing that?
Yeah, call the plays that give you touchdowns. What are you doing? Yeah, come on, Art.
Supposed to be looking forward to this head coaching job, and you got to call plays, man. Come on. All right, let's get into the topic at hand. Who does this game mean more to on Sunday between the Titans and the Ravens? I think that depends on who you ask. Most people here obviously would lean towards the Titans, given that they've lost three of the last four and that their defense seems incapable of stopping anyone all season long. But friend of the show, Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, has a different approach to this answer. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say about the Baltimore Ravens.
This is not last year's Baltimore Ravens, and we all need to accept that. Last year, Baltimore on offense was two things. They were explosive and they were dominant. Like in the explosive, both in the run and the pass game. That's not happening this year. They were dominating at the line of scrimmage. That's not happening this year. This is 3 weeks in a row now. Remember, 3 weeks ago, Hollywood Brown was outspoken about not getting the ball enough. Last week, Lamar's talking about their offense being predictable. And then last night, they scored 17 against the defense that the week before the Jets hung 27 on. No, this offense doesn't do anything well. It doesn't do anything that a defense is going to look at this year and go, that scares me. Or we got to be focused on stopping that. Last year, it was Lamar in the run game. It was the three tight end package. It was the play action game. They don't have that this year. This is not last year's Ravens team. And I'll keep it real. Their season is on the brink. Their season on the brink of being lost.
So what do you make of Dan Orlovsky's comments there, Joe, about Baltimore's season being on the brink and this not being the same Ravens team that we saw a season ago and how dominant they were in Lamar Jackson's run to league MVP?
Well, the second part there is, I mean, of course, he's absolutely true. You go back to last year. Again, I think it's probably some personnel and some performance, but I do think that last year was – it reminds me a little bit of Chip Kelly, okay? Chip Kelly at UCLA, who has really had a terrible coaching career since Oregon. He had a few years at Oregon where no one could – They just didn't know what to do with that offense. And that built his whole reputation, his whole career. And I think last year, and I'm not saying that about John Harbaugh, but I'm saying last year's Ravens, this league wasn't ready for what they were doing. And I think that's got to be a part of why they've stepped back this year. Is that, I mean, and I think the Titans probably get some credit for that too, because obviously they had a great plan. Dean Pease, the execution was great by the players. I mean, they had a fantastic plan that, of course, worked when you also run the ball and take a lead, take a shot, get ahead, all that stuff. I think there's a little bit of a blueprint there for the Titans. But I think last year was a moment in time where they just – people couldn't deal with it. Now they can. And so I think that last part is true. Season on the brink. Here's the thing with Baltimore. I think the question of who – this means more to has to be answered with the remaining schedules. Baltimore is not winning their division, right? I mean, they're three games back. They've already lost to the Steelers. So they are a wild card team. Okay. Well, they can lose this game and they can go lose to the Steelers and be 6-5. There is no way this team doesn't go at least 10-6. You look at their schedule. They got the Cowboys, they got the Jags, they got the Giants, they got the Bengals. I'll give them four right now, okay? There's 10. They're at 10. They also play the Browns, who they beat like 38-7 in the opener. And I guess you could lose that game. I don't see a way that they win less than 11, and that's if they lose to the Titans. So, no, this game absolutely means more to the Titans because of their remaining schedule.
I would agree with that, and it's interesting. You take a look at the standings right now. Baltimore, the seventh seed right now in the AFC, the last playoffs wild card spot, 6-3, and the Titans at 9. We talked about that yesterday, how they've gone at 6-3, the ninth seed in the AFC. I just look at the Titans. You've lost 3 of 4. Your defense is awful. You've got a huge matchup next week against the Colts. I think you got to have this one. I mean, this is a really important game. The schedule down the stretch, there's obviously some winnable games on there. When you're talking about the Browns, that's a huge game. The Lions, you should win that game. The Texans, you should win that game. But you still have the Packers. You still have the Browns, which, depending on which week, it could be a dangerous team in Cleveland that shows up. So I think this is a massive game for the Titans. And honestly, I'm intrigued by what Dan Orlovsky was talking about there with the offense for Baltimore not being the same and not being as dominant and maybe being figured out a little bit around the league. How does that translate into success for the Titans defense? What does that look like against a Titans defense that, outside of Nick Foles, hasn't been able to stop anybody so far this year?
Yeah, it's I don't know what to expect, because, again, it's still such a different matchup from any other matchup you're going to have. The one thing about Baltimore that I think is a problem for them is that they aren't explosive at receiver. You know, Marquise Brown is a good player, but he hasn't had the kind of year they were hoping for. I mean, they got Willie Snead out there making some plays. Obviously, you know, Mark Andrews is a terrific player at tight end, but they haven't really gotten like the Devin Duvernays out there to really be explosive. And so I think that's part of what's limiting them too. So that's been the Titans' problem, is, you know, quarterbacks who sit back there all day and throw to receivers who the Titans can't cover. That's not going to be the thing this week. It's still going to be the run game. It's going to be Jackson and containing him and stopping the run. And that is a concern to me, and a difference from last year to this year, is, again, up front, point of attack, run fits, all that stuff. They just haven't been very good against the run. And I could see the Ravens putting a number on them on the ground.
So, Joe, you're pretty adamant. Both of you guys are pretty adamant that this game means more to the Titans. And, Joe, one point that you brought up was the fact that the Ravens – don't really have a shot at the division anymore. It's unlikely that they'll win the AFC North. To me, that almost makes this game more meaningful to the Ravens, because their only shot of getting in is the wild card. And there's a chance that they're going to be battling the Titans for a wild card spot, and it could come down to the result of this game for the Ravens playoff chances, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, versus the Titans have a different – they have two avenues to get into the playoffs. They can still go to Indy and win, not confident, but they could still do that, win the division and get in the playoffs, or get in as wild card.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, and if you're the Ravens, that's exactly what you're saying. Like, this is the biggest game in the history of the world. And yes, it's the wild card chase. I'm just saying, if and they could never do this, and the Titans wouldn't do this either, but they've got an easier path to get where they need to get. The Titans, honestly, if the Titans lose this game, but they go win at Indy and then beat Cleveland, well, then they're back in good shape to win their division.
Sure.
So now, but the problem is there too. Even if you do that, and if you do fade, and the Colts end up beating you, you've lost the tiebreaker. I mean, it's big for both teams from that perspective.
But you could also say that the Ravens, after Sunday night's loss in New England, their offense looked like crap.
Yeah.
It's looked like crap for a while. It's been very inconsistent. If they lose to the Titans, next week they play the Steelers. They could win it. Those games are usually really close down to the wire. But the Ravens came into the season with higher national expectations than the Titans. And if they're sitting at 6-5, yes, they have an easy schedule after Thanksgiving. But I don't think you can chalk up every single one of those games as wins for them and say it's almost automatic that they would get 11.
Yeah, don't be disrespecting the New York football Giants right now, Joe. They've turned their season around, 3-7 now.
Yeah. Or the fighting Joe Burrows.
Yeah.
Okay, can I call a shot now?
Go ahead.
No, they're going to beat the Cowboys, Jags, Giants, and Bengals. I'm going to call my shot. So I want.
They're going to go 4-0.
We can't forget
those
this.
Games.
Yes.
Write it down on your sheet.
I don't know.
I will call my shot and say that they are not going to go 4-0 in that stretch.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. We got opposing shots.
You talked about Hollywood Brown earlier in this segment. Last three games, he's got 6 catches for 55 yards in 3 games.
Yeah. Now, and I'm trying to think, when's the last time that they really looked – because they didn't look good on offense. It's the Colts. Colts are a good defense. They did – they actually had a decent day against the Steelers. I mean, you know, 28-24 loss. I mean, you look through their schedule. I mean, obviously they start out, it looks like the old Ravens from last year, 38 on the Browns, 33 on the Texans. They have 33 on the WFTs. But, yeah, it just – lately it's sort of – slowed down. How much was weather a part of that Sunday? Probably some.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, you know, the Patriots got some stuff done on the ground in that game big time, and the Ravens didn't get enough done.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texts in and says, any chance they bring in a punter from Costco this week? Joe, do you have an update on the search for punters around Nashville working areas?
Like I said, I mean, I told my buddy who drives for UPS to go try out, but I don't think he has yet. So now it's too late. So
have to wait till next week.
Yeah, got to wait till next week now.
When we come back, we've mentioned that the offense has struggled without Taylor Lewan in the last 4 games. What do we think are some other reasons that the offense hasn't been clicking on all cylinders? We'll debate that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This 6-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, we've spent a lot of time talking about the Titans' offense the last 4 weeks, going up against some good defenses. They've lost 3 of the last 4, and the offense, for whatever reason, just has not been quite as productive the last 4 weeks. So let's get into some reasons why that's been the case. We'll start with you. As you evaluate this Titans offense, if you had to identify the number one reason that they haven't been as productive the last 4 weeks, what would that reason be in your mind?
I'm going to go with the opponents. It's close, and they have their own issues for certain. But when you look at who they've played lately versus who they played early, let's again go through it. I mean, let's remember that they scored a total of 16 against the Broncos in the opener.
Yes.
Also, your favorite kicker was not good that night. But you know, they put 33 on the Jags. They put 31 on the Vikings, who were very bad at that time. The Bills was a crazy game. Give them credit. I mean, look, they played well. The offense, well, that's probably the most impressive offensive performance, especially because A.J. Brown, you know, was the only receiver. And Floyd, I didn't even realize, Floyd brought up a great point earlier. There's been actually two games. I look back at it after we had the segment with Floyd. They have had two games this year where the complete game with all their receivers. That was the Broncos game, which, again, not a great offensive game. And then it was the Steelers game. That's interesting, and you know, gives you a little hope too moving forward if they can keep those three together. But then they put 42 on the Texans, who are terrible defensively. You know, to me, you go the last four games. What we're talking about, you go Steelers, Bengals, Bears, Colts. You know, Steelers, Bears, and Colts. Bears are just awful. Bears have to be the worst offensive team in football. Anybody doesn't believe that after last night? They are the worst, right? I mean, that's the worst offense in the NFL.
It's atrocious.
It's just, but they are good, very good on defense. Why they're still 5-5. I mean, that's three of the top defenses in the NFL. The Bengals are bad. You know, the Titans scored 20 points in that game. They also just made some mistakes, which could be a different, you know, you could have a different number one from me. But I'm going number one with the opponent's defenses. It's a very different look they're getting. They are taking on teams that can really get after the passers, you know, stop the run, and it's a big step up from the first five games in competition.
All right, so that's number one for you. Number two, if you had to identify the second reason, what would that be?
Luan being out. You know, Luan being out and all the adjustments that have had to take place because of that. I mean, it's a big, big thing. If it's not a big thing, then why would you ever give that guy that contract? That's why it's a big deal. And it's why when he comes back, and it's like last year, think about the first four games, how bad they were up front. Terrible.
Pretty bad.
And eventually, and quarterbacking had a lot to do with it, but offensive line had a lot to do with that whole thing at the end of the year, too.
And if you had to identify a third reason, what would that be?
Well, it's Tannehill not playing as well, to me. I think you can tie that to both of the first two. You can tie it to better opponents, better pass rush. And you can certainly tie it to knowing his blindside protector's not out there. But he's missed some throws lately that we're not used to seeing him miss. We're not used to seeing him make a mistake like he did at Cincinnati, which that game could be different. And it's not all him. I mean, I think the Cincinnati game could be different if he doesn't throw that pick to A.J. Brown. And I think the Colts game could be different if A.J. Brown just catches the TD that was right there in his hands. But Tannehill's performance on its own also just has taken a step or two back.
So I'm going a different route with number one. I look at this team right now and the offense, and there's no doubt, you look at all the numbers. I mean, they've been down since LeJuan went out. My number one reason the offense is regressing, they can't get on the field and get the ball because the defense won't get off the field to give them the ball. That's the number one reason for me. I mean, I look at this team right now. I think the Colts game was the perfect example. I mean, the last part of the first half and then the first part of the third quarter, the Titans went like 12 minutes of game time without stepping on the field offensively.
Colts ran 28 straight plays.
I mean, it was unbelievable to watch. And you've mentioned a couple times that they've wasted efforts from Derrick Henry the last few weeks. I mean, I think back to that Cincinnati game. The offense would have been fine in that game if they just had the ball. Like, if the defense could get off the field, Derrick Henry could have run for 250 yards. In that game against Cincinnati. I think he was having a great game against the Colts as well. They just could never get into a rhythm because they were always going 7, 8, 9 minutes without getting back on the field and getting the ball back. So the number one reason to me, we hear the term complimentary football all the time. The Titans are really far away from that right now. Their defense not helping the offense whatsoever. That's number one to me. I think that's been a huge issue with this team the last few weeks.
No, hey, it's a very good point. I mean, they are being betrayed, and like early in the season, the defense was giving up points for sure. I mean, it's been consistently bad. Other than I guess even the Buffalo game, they're 13-for-17 against on third down, but they get picks, they flip the field, they give the offense short field. So that was a complimentary football game. But for the most part, defense has given up points. But like you said, lately, it's also like It's the massive difference in offensive plays, time of possession, all that, which is which puts so much pressure on your offense.
And then the other two reasons for me are similar to you. I mean, Taylor Lewan going down, obviously a huge deal. I think that's affected Tannehill massively in terms of the clock being sped up and him not being as comfortable back there as we saw early on. And then I do think the competition has a lot to do with it. Pittsburgh's defense is really good. Chicago's defense is really good. Indy's defense is really good. So you can't just ignore that. And they're going to go up against another good defense on Sunday in Baltimore. But the reason I've thrown out there the defense and even that getting into the offense's head a little bit of knowing that they got to be pretty much perfect every time they go out there, I think there's something to that. And I think the more you watch this defense, even if you're trying to be the best teammate you can be on offense and say all the right things, like I said with Floyd, those guys aren't stupid. They realize what's going on the other side of the ball. And the margin for error for this offense, without Lewan in there and given what we've seen from the defense, it's just razor thin right now. I mean, they've got to play pretty much a perfect game in order to get themselves and put themselves in a chance to win. Or you can go up against Chicago Bears offense. That helps too. Going up against that offense, you probably got a chance to
win. That's true. We should give them credit for holding down the mighty Nick Foles. It's amazing. Again, I would love to know how many times that you could have this discussion about a team, and a year earlier you could have said the exact same things that you just said about one side between the other, and you just swap the words offense and defense. Because last year it was similar too. The defense held them in against the Colts. The offense stunk. You know, the Jaguars game, obviously they beat the Bills. The Bills, they lose 14-7. The defense goes out to Denver and does all it can do. They lose 16-0. You know, eventually the defense, I think, started playing worse. Now, it may have been against better offenses, but like you think about the loss to Carolina, you know, the defense was bad in that game. I mean, now McCaffrey's really good, but the defense started to kind of wear, I think, under the strain of having to carry the offense. And maybe we're seeing that now the other way around.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the problem with the offense is the quarterback. Now that he doesn't have forever to sit back there and throw, he sucks. The real Miami Tannehill. Please stand up.
Boy, here we go.
Knew that wouldn't take long.
Miami Tannehill. Mianahill? Yeah, he doesn't suck. He hasn't been as good lately. But he's never going to be able to – like, basically, Tannehill's got to win a ring and be the MVP and, you know, throw for 404 with no picks every game to avoid someone wanting to go back to, oh, he's just not good. He's Miami Tannehill. I think he's proved enough in more than a season as quarterback here. He's not playing as well right now. Some of it is not his fault, but they're not gonna win or get to the playoffs if he doesn't on his own figure this out some. I'd agree with that. But that's a huge overreaction.
And I still have confidence that he'll figure it out. He'll get back, and he's probably not gonna get back to what he was when we were talking about earlier in the year, maybe putting him in the MVP conversation, because I do think the time that he had and the protection that he had a lot to do with that. I mean, that's the same with any quarterback in the league. The more time you give them, the more they're going to be able to pick you apart. But I do think that Ryan Tannehill has missed some throws that typically he's made in his career with the Titans, and I don't think that's going to be something that just plagues him from now on just because Lewan's not in there. Like, he's missed some throws where the pressure wasn't a factor. He just missed. And I don't anticipate that that's just going to keep happening all season long. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that happening.
His stats would also look a lot better if his receivers would, you know, catch the ball.
That'd be nice, too.
Not making excuses because he has regressed a little bit since Lewan's injury.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 2,200 yards, 65%, 20 touchdowns, 3 picks. But again, this is to your point, Robbie, you know, the margin for error. I mean, I'm trying to think back to the Colts game. There was that corner out, you know, against – there was a corner route against cover two to Janu that he missed.
Yep.
You know, you have to sneak it between the corner and safety. He missed it. And he missed him in the end zone. And I'm trying to think of what other bad plays did Tannehill have in the Colts game. He just did. He wasn't out there. But when you have that, when it's like, okay, they just had the ball for 28 straight plays and all this is going on. You got some weird punter out there just blowing the whole game up. And, you know.
Yeah.
So you better be perfect right now. And he missed a throw. And so it's like, oh, my God, what's wrong with Tannehill? How many bad plays did he have? I've got two.
He's got two, and then the A.J. Brown drop. Those are three plays in that game where you don't execute perfectly and the game's out of hand.
And they had a couple third downs they didn't pick up where he tried to go to Firkser. I think Firkser dropped one.
One of them was
telegraphed, yeah. Was predetermined. It was batted away. It was good defense. But, I mean, seriously, like, has Tannehill had a game where, I mean, like, to compare to Mariota, where it was just like, oh, like,
no.
Throw after throw, and you're like, how'd you miss that throw?
He was pretty bad in the Chicago game.
Tannehill?
Yeah. I was not impressed really at all with Tannehill in that game.
But even on that
game. He had the dime to A.J. Brown, and that was a great throw and catch. But I wasn't impressed with him in that game.
It wasn't a great game. But even in that game, you make the throw to A.J. Brown, and when you need a touchdown, you go down right down the field in the third quarter, make it 24-3. He was fine.
Yeah. Well, he was great on that drive.
Miss some throws. Now, he got away with, I think, the first drive of the game in that Chicago game. Yeah. I mean, he telegraphed one to Fuller, and Fuller just dropped it. Could have been an interception. Maybe a pick six.
Trying to go to Corey Davis, right?
Yeah.
And, again, the predetermined, oh, got to get it out right now. But, again, I mean, I'm trying to think of how many plays in that game were you like, oh, Tannehill, three? You know, I don't know. It was too far. It was long ago.
It's too long ago for you?
My brain. I can't remember it very well.
Coming up next, I'll tell you why I think we may not be giving Derrick Henry the credit he deserves so far this year. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. Porth loves him some Stapleton. Some good stuff. I can see the head bobbing back there.
Yes, I do. Who doesn't?
Chris Stapleton's pretty good. Do you know Chris Stapleton? Do you listen to any Chris Stapleton?
No.
Oh, my God.
Really?
I don't like country music. So if I don't like country music, why am I listening to Chris Stapleton?
I have to disown you. You're talking to the wrong – well, I think I like country music more than Robbie does.
Yeah, probably.
You're talking to the wrong guy saying that you don't like country music. But, you know, to each their own.
Hey.
Joe hasn't listened to any music at all since 1999. Everything's 1999 and before.
You know, yeah, I will tell you guys that on the way here this morning, I did listen to – so one time we were like – this is pre-COVID, by the way. Like we went to a lake with another family, and I had the music because I always tried to be the DJ, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, our friends were like, can you play some country? I'm like, no, I have no country. But then I was like, wait a minute, I do have, and I played this morning too, Jerry Reed, Eastbound and Down from the Smokey and the Bandit soundtrack. Now, that's a jam. So if that counts as country music,
sure.
Then I like country music.
I'll allow it. That's good.
All right. You did
confess yourself the co-president of the Travis Tritt fan club the other day along with me. So I don't think that you meant that and were genuine by it, but you did confess that.
But what was that about? That was about something, though.
I don't know.
No?
The only thing I took away from that is you like Travis Tritt.
I thought he did something cool. That was just about his music?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff. Taylor Swift, is Taylor Swift country?
Former.
I think she came back, though.
When?
Her last album.
That wasn't country.
She's
Yeah, I don't think that was
country. She's like... transitioning back.
Well, I don't think so.
Because my daughter, you know, she's a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
Her and my wife saw her at
me too.
Nissan. Did you?
No, I'm just a huge fan.
Yeah, well, you're childhood buddies with her.
Yeah.
But
Go Commandos.
The show apparently was amazing at Nissan Stadium.
Oh, I heard it was. My wife was still very upset.
Talk about it.
We had to go to a wedding that night, and my wife was very upset that we did not end up at Nissan Stadium for that concert. And I, on the other hand... was not upset at all.
So you would have gone if not for the wedding?
Yeah, I would have been forced to. Look,
I would have gone to that. I was actually kind of mad. Yeah,
I would go.
I would have gone.
I'm sure it's a good concert.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big concert guy anyway. Like, I'm not kicking down the door ever to go to a concert. I'll go. I'll have a good time. But I never like, you know what I really want to do tonight? Go to a concert. It's just not me.
I would go to Ascend every night.
Really?
Amen.
I mean, I went to Ascend. Gosh, so it was Maren Morris and... There was a country artist.
Well, Mary Morris is one.
Yeah, but there was also a country artist with her.
Mm-hmm. Was it last October?
It could have been.
Yeah, I was there.
So, but you know, like we had friends who had tickets. So like, yeah, go to that. Went to Crab. I mean, we go every chance we get. That's my favorite place in this city.
Once it's safe again, what are you looking forward to more? Once we get back to normal, going to a real live sporting event that's normal in crowds, or going to a place like Ascend, watching a concert?
Well, when I go to sporting events, I sit and using the press box, so it's not, you know?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Although it's still, like, I look forward to, like, a Preds game where it's packed and loud.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. But, yeah, no, I'm going to concert all the way.
Okay.
I'll say yes to that question.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to sports.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Give me both.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with both, but sports I would lean that way.
I mean, I look forward to packed bars and, like, even eating, like, the peanuts at the bar, which normally I avoid. I'm just going to put my face right in the jar of peanuts. I mean, just be the most ridiculous close talker you've ever seen. It's going to be a complete germ mess.
The first thing I want to do when all this is over is go to a Luke Combs concert.
Really? Luke Combs. Yeah. So not just a concert. You've specified who you want to go to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So Luke Combs or Chris Stapleton?
Oh, Luke Combs. Hands down.
Okay.
I don't know Luke if I Combs hands is my guy. Down. But they're pretty good.
In terms of my guy, in terms of my favorite, Luke Combs.
Okay. Let's go back to a text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Timmy texts in, Eastbound and Down is the most country music ever. Put that pedal down and give them hell.
Nice.
That coming from Timmy. So you're approved in the country music process.
I saw Smokey and the Bandit and Smokey and the Bandit 2 at the theater. I'm trying to figure out, should I show my kids Smokey and the Bandit? You know how old movies sometimes, there's a lot of inappropriate stuff you forgot, you know?
Yeah. Look, I'm survived. Thinking, go ahead.
Well,
Why not?
They've seen other. I mean, there's been some bad parenting moments, but I'm kind of excited to show them Smoking the Bandit. Okay. I showed them Airplane.
Did you really?
Have you seen this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Great movie.
I guarantee you Porth hasn't, but.
Airplane?
You've not seen Airplane.
I have seen Airplane.
No way.
At the request of
such
Pete
a
Weber.
Lie. Okay.
Yeah.
And that I believe.
Were you glad you did?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Weber's the one guy that can get Porth to watch a movie.
Has Pete Weber.
He got me to watch Airplane and...
Please tell me Slapshot.
Oh, yeah,
he's seen Slapshot.
And Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now, that's classic. Oh, man. There's one I won't show my kids.
Yeah, let's probably hold off on that one. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in talking about the texter we had in the last segment with Tannehill. The last text doesn't know football. When you lose your left tackle and your left guard is beat up, you can only do so much. But when he does great, they love him. And when he does bad, they hate him. Talking about Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's like, Tannehill sucks, Miami Tannehill, come on. This may be trolling, though.
Maybe.
You always have to, you know, like we know Jared has at least
There's no sarcasm font on the text, so
yeah,
I can't tell.
Jared has one burner account at least on there, so you always have to try to decipher.
So I want to get to a topic about Derrick Henry, and hang with me here, because I think this could sound crazy to some people, but do you think we could possibly be undervaluing the season that Derrick Henry is having? You look at it, 946 yards so far, 8 touchdowns, 9 games, 201 carries. But as we talked about in the last segment, I think there have been games where there's been money left on the table for him in terms of what he could have done and the numbers that he could have put up, but they just can't get the ball back. They can't get back on the field, and when they do, their defense isn't making enough stops to allow Derrick Henry to continue to be a focal point of the game plan. As you look at Derrick Henry this year, I think he's every bit as good right now as he was a year ago. Maybe not at peak level like what he was in the playoffs where he was just otherworldly good, but I think as far as him specifically running the ball, the lanes he's choosing, and the style in which he's running the ball, I think Derrick Henry every bit as good this year.
I totally agree. This is also, I mean, this is what it is what you do is really what you are. It's just kind of like, you know, if you ask Vrabel to evaluate, you know, how he did or whatever in a year, he's like, okay, well, we won 9 and we lost 7. That's how I did. And it's like, well, actually, you got a good point there. That's what it is. And so what you're, if you're a running back, what's your rushing total? That's what you are. So I do agree how he's playing, how he's running. I think he's absolutely great.
Which, by the way, he's on pace to finish for more yards than he did last year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he's still having a great season, but I think he could be having an unbelievable season. I think the point you brought up earlier about the defense, that's really hurt him in some games. You know, the Steelers game, he was just getting going, never used again. The Bengals game, you said, I mean, that, if that game's different and they're not chasing the game from multiple scores down and he's not standing on the sidelines, what's he do to that defense? He does some damage, right? And the Colts. I mean, if they got second and one, they have all the momentum. They got all the emotion. They got him from the 1 yard line slamming into that defense. And they got second and third and one. They don't get it. And then basically he's not a factor. for much of the rest of that game. So he's been a real victim of circumstance, but that's how it is. And I do think that, I'll say it over and over about last year, that offensive line was peak performance for him. You can't – it's a team game. How many quarterbacks in this league, running backs in this league, flourish with a bunch of crap around them?
Not many.
So it's a team game. It's a team sport, right?
The ultimate team sport. You know, every sport claims to be the ultimate team sport. Who do we think is the real ultimate team sport? Is it football?
They all claim that?
Hockey. You ask a hockey player, oh, hockey's the ultimate team game.
Yeah.
Basketball, oh, basketball's the ultimate team game. Baseball, oh, yeah, you need everybody.
Well, see, basketball and baseball have no claim. I mean, baseball, pitcher, batter, that's your game. I mean, obviously, you have other – basketball, one player can take over a game.
I'm just telling you what they say. I'm not telling you it's true.
I think hockey and football have a better claim to it. I think it's football because it's 11 people. It's more people.
Right.
And more things go into, you know, I know that one player can make a play here and there, whatever, but it is very much the whole operation. I got to go football.
What about you? Slightly. I lead in football. But I just think
hockey's a second?
Hockey second.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, I understand that we have to give Henry a rest, but if you look with the eye test, we do better with him regardless what the situation is. We need to try to keep him in the game as much as possible. What do you make of maybe they've been taking Derrick Henry out a little bit too much lately and not leaving him in even on third down?
Oh, every game, at some point in the press box, I'm like, you know what? If he were out that field, there'd still be more for the defense to think about. And I understand you have to give him some rest and you have guys in roles. And if he has a problem pass protecting at any point, they're switching out on that. And he's had a couple times this year where – it hasn't gone well for him in pass pro, but I'm big time in favor of have him on the field. Even like sometimes late in games where it's just hurry up and he's just standing there. It's like, you know what? Throw him in for a few plays. Why not?
Give the defense something to consider with him on the field. Because it's one thing. I understand Jeremy McNichols better at pass protection, but it's also another thing if you're throwing him the ball, and they're not throwing Jeremy McNichols the ball at all. Like, very rarely do you see them swing a pass out to him. So, it's not like the running back is getting all these looks in the passing game with Henry not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to a little bit more comfort with him in pass pro.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, we need to start playing playoff football starting this week. Go back to the roots. Run the ball and then play action. The strength of this team starting this week against the Ravens.
Totally agree. And the Patriots ran it right at that defense. So, yep. You know, this is not a whole defense. This is a banged-up defense. And I totally agree. This is a run-the-football, play-defense game. I know they can do one of those two.
And to that point, they ran the ball very well against the Ravens last year in the playoffs. A huge game from Derrick Henry. Do the Titans need another Derrick Henry playoff-style game to win this game on Sunday against the Ravens? We'll debate that on the other side of the break. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Road's favorite song going right now.
That's a jam. I mean, I blasted it this morning. Okay, so I know you haven't seen. Have you seen Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank
Smokey
you.
Smokey and the Bandit 2?
I haven't seen 2.
Yeah. Dom DeLuise and an elephant.
Does
not,
it follow
not as good.
Typical patterns of the first movie being fine and the second movie, the sequels, oftentimes are terrible?
I don't think, well, honestly, again, I think I saw that movie in the theater when I was like, 9, so I or 8, whatever. I don't think it was as bad a sequel as a lot of sequels, but I mean, I haven't seen Smokey and the Bandit in a long time either. It might be a pretty bad movie. I love it though. I will always love it. The Trans Am, Sally Field. Burt Reynolds, good stuff. I mean, Jackie Gleason is the shit. Come on.
I mean, come on.
Good stuff, man.
Simpler times.
Yes.
Have you watched that in quarantine?
No. Again, it's been a while.
Okay. Well, maybe something for you to do.
No, I mean, it's on the list of things to show the kids. I've also got to keep making the list for movies that, you know, Ryan Porth has to watch.
Don't just waste your time. It's too exhausting of a list.
Just watch the Godfather movies. Do us that favor.
There are so many movies on the list that I need to watch.
And the movies remain on the list. Like, they don't get checked off. There's just this list that Porth has.
They slowly get checked off.
Yeah. But your wife likes movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it'll happen for movies. You. Then. It'll happen for you.
What'd you say?
Porth hates movies.
I don't hate movies.
Not a big movie guy.
I don't hate movies.
If your wife likes
Porth
movies.
Porth has watched The Sandlot probably 700 times.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great flick.
Yeah. And Wedding Crashers probably 650 times.
Yeah, those are the two movies he watches.
Have you seen Old School?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, I think you may be making stuff up.
Like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, going back to some of the older ones?
Nope.
No? Okay. I come up with a...
Have you seen any Star Wars movie?
No.
Okay.
Why would I?
Yeah, I mean, you should watch those. But I, my fantasy football name in the Titans League, I'm 8-2, by the way, is Fred O'Banion. Okay, and everybody in the league's like, Fred O'Banion?
Yeah.
Does anybody, do you know what that reference is?
I think so.
Go ahead.
No.
What is it?
No. You tell me.
Okay. Fred O'Banion.
Am I right?
Fred O'Banion is the only great character Ben Affleck has ever played.
Oh, yes. We've talked about this.
Yeah, he's
yes.
the football player who flunked on purpose so he could beat up eighth graders again in the movie Dazed and Confused. But all these Titans media people are like, what? Dazed and Confused? I would never. I'm like, that's a top 10 all-time movie.
All time?
Oh, man.
It's good.
I mean, I know you say I could say top 10 all time about 40 movies, but Days of Confused is amazing.
I do respect your constant ability to just throw jabs at Ben Affleck. It's great.
Well, he's just terrible.
He's not good.
He's objectively terrible. But
when
he
they
was
put him in as
Batman,
I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, it's hard enough anyway to go from Christian Bale being Batman to anybody else because Christian Bale is like weird enough where he makes that work. But Ben Affleck, and now they've gone Robert Pattinson, which it's just going to be awful. That new trailer with the new Batman with Robert Pattinson.
The only thing I like about it is the Nirvana song they use.
Yes,
but he'll be bad, but he'll be way better than Affleck. Affleck is so bad.
You think of Batman, Robert Pattinson, the guy that comes to mind?
No.
Probably not.
No, but again, like, I'll take Rick Moranis as Batman over Ben Affleck.
What's old Rick Moranis up to right now?
I don't know. There's another great 80s actor. Ghostbusters, Porth?
Yes.
Okay. You're not as bad. He's not as bad off as
well. Honey,
I
Shrunk the Kids with Moranis in it?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Wow. Jeez. Strange Brew?
No.
The McKenzie Brothers?
I've seen parts of it.
Okay.
All right.
Because my dad and my brother were big fans of that movie.
We're going to have Nicole Auerbach join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into some college football with her. So looking forward to that. We mentioned in the last segment Derrick Henry and the success that he's had this year and the success that he had last year against the Ravens in the playoffs where he was just an absolute monster. He ran through, up and around the Ravens defense, even threw a touchdown pass in that game, finished with 195 yards on the ground. Joe, as you evaluate this game for the Titans against the Ravens, is it going to take another superhuman performance for Derrick Henry for the Titans to have a chance to go on the road and win this game?
I don't know about superhuman, but I think he's probably got to have three figures, and he's got to get into the hundreds. The crazy thing is, what is it? Two straight they've lost with him over 100 now.
After
16 in a row without it.
Yeah.
So, not necessarily a guarantee, but yeah, I can't see them winning this game if he doesn't have a good day. Like, he could have a day where he carries it 26 times for 88 yards and they could win because that means they have the ball and you could still get play action shots off that and Tannehill could have a big day. I mean, it's hard to point to any one player or stat and say that guarantees victory, but I can't imagine Derrick Henry not getting a lot of work in this game and them winning unless they get, a tipped pass,
right,
return for a touchdown, stuff like that. It's in a conventional game where wacky stuff doesn't happen, I think Derrick Henry's got to be a big part of it.
Do I think that the Titans need Derrick Henry to have a monster game like he did in the playoffs to win this game? No. What I think the Titans need to happen is for the defense to get off the field and give him the ball and let him stay in the game. Let him be a part of the game plan. Now, if he ends up with 130 yards, I mean, it's probably not a monster game, but I think you feel good about where you are most games if you're the Titans, if that's the case. The defense has got to find a way to let the Titans get the ball. I think the Titans right now, 29th in the league in time of possession. And you think about what they like to do offensively, run the ball, play action, sustain some drives. I mean, they just can't do that right now because they don't have their defense can't get off the field. So if you would have told me heading into this year that at any point the Titans were 29th in the league in time of possession with the way they play offense, I'd have said you're crazy. And I realize, like, time of possession, it's not the be-all, end-all. But I think for this team it is an important stat because of the way they play.
Yeah, I agree. You know, sometimes they are a team that can hit you fast, just like they came out and scored against the Colts right away, you know. But that stat is – it's surprising, and I think it is more a defensive stat for them than an offensive stat. It's that – I mean, it's almost like sometimes just let the other team just hit you on first or second down, but they get it to third down a lot, and then they give it up. You know, the Colts game was especially bad because that's all Rivers does is dinks you to death. But, yeah, the defense should be able to get off the field more against this offense if it can get them in those third downs. If you can get them in the third down obvious passing situation, that's not at all where they want to be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, says Rick Moranis took over coaching duties for the Giants and got them back on the right track.
The Little Giants.
Yeah. Lots of coaching adjustments made in that game. Hot Hands out there. What a great movie.
Yeah. Porth?
You seen Little Giants?
Yes.
Okay.
He's fine.
Thanks, Joe.
Goodfellas. Goodfellas, Godfather, Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, you know, we can figure it out.
Smoky Little Giants, one of the underrated movies of the 90s. Love that movie.
Little Giants, yeah.
I like how, Joe, earlier in the segment, you were like, Porth, I'm not even going to ask you. You haven't seen Smokey and the Bandit. You didn't even ask me.
Yeah.
Every other movie you asked me, and you're like, he hasn't seen Smokey and the Bandit.
I ruled you out.
You did.
I've underestimated you.
You've underestimated. When we come back, someone we don't underestimate, our friend Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. We'll get into all things college football with her. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.